Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peas in the Pod Cast. I'm Nathan.
I'm Sia.
I'm Henry.
And I'm Suba.
And we are a group of four students who are passionate about psychology. And we've come together like peas in a pod to discuss the world of psychology and the role it plays in our lives. In this episode, we're going to understand the concept of coronavirus anxiety. Something that's affecting almost everyone in the world right now as they undergo quarantine. And we want to investigate what coronavirus anxiety is doing to us and how there are ways to mitigate the damages it is having on, especially the mental health of people.
It's good to see you again, Nathan. It's been so long.
Yeah, we've all been separated due to quarantine, and now we're back together to discuss the world of psychology as we normally do.
And being in Thailand, we're quite fortunate to be able to, you know, go back to school. And there are other places in the world where people are not as fortunate as us, who are still enduring the cooling effects of lockdown.
Yeah, there are some countries that have cancelled the university entrance examinations. Luckily, Thailand hasn't cancelled one yet. And
yeah, it's a very frightening time.
It's a very fortunate
uncertain time, yeah. And with that comes fear, right? I mean, yeah. Fear of the unknown, always.
And also, that uncertainty always makes us like to watch for news and like to understand what is going to happen next. So the uncertainty of the coronavirus actually led to like we don't know what exactly will be impacted and how we are gonna deal with this whole situation, and we don't know when it will gonna end even. So people are trying to stay more informed and like to understand what is going on in our community right now. And I guess these whole factors always like mostly leads to observation of coronavirus anxiety.
Yeah.
Because the uncertainty just increases too much of our attention, and like that attention is consumed by the threat of the contagion.
So, of contacting the virus, you mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
So it leads people to become more conformist and less tolerant of eccentricity, I guess.
Yeah.
And one of the theory that explains the coronavirus anxiety is called terror management theory.
TMT for short. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we dive into terror management theory,
mm-hmm.
guys, let's all be honest. In the beginning of lockdown, we were all excited. We were all excited for the world of online school.
Sorry, you're revealing our inner.
We're happy that we didn't have to go to school.
Right, there was a bit of uncertainty, but even with that uncertainty, it was kind of.
I mean, yeah, as kids.
Let's not lie to ourselves.
Yeah,
we were kind of all excited.
Yeah.
But after, you know, 4 or 5 months of this lockdown.
It's almost been 1 year.
It's draining.
Yeah.
It's very draining. Even though we don't do anything.
It just goes to show how our interactions every day, you know, social interactions rather have a significant effect on our psychology.
Yeah.
You know, being in isolation, being in lockdown for a long time really makes us, you know,
lose motivation
to do
really,
things.
Really draining. Yeah.
Every day just feels like the same, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a weird paradox in that to deal with the coronavirus, you need to have social interaction,
but you
can't have social interaction because of the coronavirus.
And you know what else is a paradox? Social distancing. When you're distancing, you know, you can't really be social. So
yeah,
that's
an oxymoron word.
Yeah.
This is our first time going through this global lockdown for the 21st century. And
yeah.
Everything is just new.
And, you know, considering we're from the 21st century, I always thought, like, you know, we're living in the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in the age when we won't have to, like, deal with the major problems because we're living in this, like, modern age, technologically advanced. But then it just... I was kind of shown how vulnerable we really are as a species to the you know, a small virus in some small marketplace in a country far away now is impacted the entire world for so long and in such drastic ways.
Right, and if you guys go back to your, you know, cell phone activity usage or the number of hours you spent on your devices during lockdown, there was a significant surge. I feel like that modern aspect of lockdown, you know, is really beneficial for us because we can connect with social media, we can connect with the technology we have today, you know. We wouldn't be as isolated as if we were, you know, if we were being in lockdown 100 years ago. And yeah, at the end of the day, it's all just about, you know, trying to connect, trying to find social, you know, social connections and make it feel normal again, because with the lockdown came a lot of things that we were taking for granted, you know, things that were benefiting to our mental health that we have overlooked.
On that note, I think we should like probably return back to what we stated earlier, the terror management theory, TMT. So Sia, can you tell us a bit more about that?
So terror management theory, aka TMT, is arguing that most of the human actions that we do is taken to ignore or avoid the inevitability of the death. So it has main three hypotheses that it is arguing. One is that the consistent death reminder in the news or any medias that you're exposed to increase the importance of anxiety buffer.
So what is an anxiety buffer, Sia?
So anxiety buffer is basically a shield that you develop against a mental health threat. So like, for example, when you experience fear or when you feel loneliness, one of the example of anxiety buffer can be your self-esteem, as we talked about previous episodes. So TMT is actually connecting the contagious diseases and how we protect ourselves from the uncertainty using our self-esteem. So yeah,
and I think with, like, you know, mentioning that fear of contacting the virus or the fear of its effects reaching us, like this theory, it suggests that it's not just like you hear about it and then all of a sudden you have a big response, like a giant anxiety attack, but it's more like this constant news cycle about the coronavirus. You know, now that we're more online, we hear more about it, right? But also this all this information we keep internalizing about it just withers away at your buffer, your anxiety buffer. It's like breaking it down little by little until you're just left in panic, right?
Yeah, it's like we're hearing about different news from other people for a very long period of time, and those news are usually negative. Those aren't something,
those, you know, headline grabbing, yeah. Negative to, so it's kind of alarming in a sense.
Yeah, and they probably cause a lot of stress psychologically,
yeah,
in our brain.
And that's what exactly TMT is proposing, because TMT is proposing that the death reminders that you all experience, spontaneously gonna bring the anxiety response, but it gradually increases little by little it increases the potential of your anxiety, like the cumulative anxiety. And when your anxiety buffer is when it malfunctioning, that's when you experience coronavirus anxiety. For example, a long duration of quarantine and social distancing makes the social interaction between people very low, and self-esteem, as we discovered in previous episodes, we found out that self-esteem is actually affected a lot by the human interactions that you
social
experience.
Interactions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because that social interaction is absent now because of coronavirus,
yes,
that's when your anxiety, that's why so many people are now experiencing a lot of anxiety because of coronavirus.
And you start to feel a little bit low, you know,
mm-hmm,
not seeing other people,
mm-hmm,
not being able to share what you feel.
And then you have, like, of course we see in the news, like depression rates are going up and suicide rates are going up.
Yeah.
It's very disheartening to hear, and maybe even more anxiety inducing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost a cycle. And I think we should probably discuss the strategies that, you know, modern psychology says we should use to deal with these.
To deal with such anxiety.
Yeah. So I would like, we've done some discussion and research on this, and like the famous psychology professor from Carnegie Mellon University, Dr. Fischoff, he, during this time, he has discussed with the American Psychology Association on strategies that would be most useful in, you know, removing some of the anxiety that people have about this. And he says, like, the most useful thing would be to find a trusted source of information in this uncertain time. And he recommends maybe the Center for Disease Control or the World Health Organization. And using them as trust, because there's just so much information right now, and with social media, as we discussed, there's uncertainty as to which information is fake or which information is true. So it is important to find that trusted location and sticking to it, because they do the best job of gathering this information and communicating it to give you confidence that there are people handling it, right?
Yeah.
And the people working towards making life normal again.
And they're more like authoritative, and they're more factual with their stories, right? Rather than relying on, like, you know, like tabloids or other, I guess other, like, especially
minor
social
media, right?
minor magazines. You know, they wouldn't really exaggerate the effects of, or the I guess the tragedies like that have occurred during the pandemic.
And I guess that also increased a lot of people's interest on vaccine. So, like, a lot of medias began to, like, show the news that, like, different companies are trying to develop vaccines against coronavirus so that we can wrap this, the whole corona quarantine, as soon as possible, because it impacted our life so much that we cannot even try to recover that loss after, because we don't know when will corona will gonna end.
Yep.
And I guess that symbol of vaccine gives such kind of hope to a people that,
yeah,
so that it can help people to relieve stress more.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Immediately once it came, like, people were trying to say we need a vaccine.
Yeah,
right?
But it's really difficult. It just keeps changing all the DNA sequencing and all that.
I believe it said that we'd need a year and a half, right, to come
yeah.
up with a vaccine, and we don't know when it will come out. Or,
and really, the first step to recover is actually the creation or finding out the vaccine. And as there are some companies like Pfizer and Moderna who are actually making those vaccines, that actually gives some hopes to the citizens out there.
You know, we have to stay optimistic, believe in science, and, you know, I guess
those scientists.
Just scientists.
Researchers.
Yeah, but at this point, because a lot of news are actually showing that how many symptoms people experience after having vaccines, and, like, they relate that vaccine with the death of people who took vaccine, but then after they took vaccine, they actually died. And, like, it increases actually more anxiety now, and, like, people are losing trust relationship at all. Even though vaccines are coming out, they now lost hope, because there were a lot of hopes when the news came out that, like, oh, we're developing vaccines. But after they found out that it actually not that good as much as we expected.
I'd also like to point out, like, an interesting aspect, especially about, you know, people that aren't wearing masks.
Right.
Right. Do you think they don't have fear or something? Or are they just dealing with the fear in a different way?
I think...
like, they must be anxious too, right?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Like, maybe they're just, you know, maybe they don't want to conform, or they want to put their personal comfort over the safety of themselves and others. And maybe they just don't believe the existence of, you know, the coronavirus, because it's not something that you can see easily, right? When someone's carrying, when, like, you know, when there's, like, rain or when there's, like, a fire in a building, it's very easy to see, it's very salient. But something as small as a virus, you know. It's not as easy to see. So,
and also I think they don't want to experience anxiety, so like they purposefully deny the existence of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So like they are saying that like, oh, coronavirus doesn't exist, and spreading more rumors that like, oh, China the government is lying about the coronavirus in some way that they could achieve some thing that they want.
It's easier to think that it doesn't exist rather than live in a world where you have to be subjected to such fear. You know what I mean?
So it's denial that most,
yeah,
right? Right?
Definitely.
And also I think a lot of peer perceptions and like social acceptance actually lead to a more non-belief of coronavirus, I guess, because if one person begins to spread the rumor that, oh, coronavirus doesn't exist, and then because people also have unconsciously that, oh, I hope it's not true, that's when they began to conform and
the confirmation
having,
bias.
Yeah. Confirmation
that,
bias.
That you seek out information and internalize or accept information that only fulfills your pre-existing beliefs.
Right. Because you want to feel validated. You want to feel that your opinions are true, you know.
And I also like to point out that the whole factor of trust that is in the world, that is going on right now between these people, right? It's about what information you're trusting. For anti-vax, and not anti-vaxxers, anti-maxxers, right? It for them it's about a matter of trust. So they have the fear of the unknown too, right? Like we said, people with that have coronavirus anxiety, their fear of the unknown, what's going to happen. But I think for even these anti-maskers, their fear is there too. But their fear is of like authority, right? They're afraid of being authority being misused. They want to keep that authority for themselves. So I think they're like handling the anxiety. They want to handle the anxiety by themselves, because unlike how we may put our trust and try to mitigate our anxiety with online information and online, the external sources of information. They want to keep as much of that source of information from themselves, the trust, mostly in people maybe they know personally, kind of. And that's why they don't trust other sources of information, especially scientific, and then, you know, there you find people going out without masks.
I think what you said was really interesting, because I see a common denominator in the types of fear between those that refuse to wear a mask or those that refuse the existence of the coronavirus, to those that are afraid of, you know, being subject to uncertainty or being afraid of catching the virus itself, you know. And when you said the fear of authority, I could relate that to something really interesting that I read on the philosopher Michel Foucault, and he talks about how power doesn't come from centralized authority, but power is rooted in our daily actions, our little, you know, on the little things that we're unaware of.
Yeah, so one of the experiments actually explains a similar mechanism and suggests how coronavirus anxiety was developed. So in Hansen 2010 experiment, actually allowed the researchers to manipulate the mortality cell lines. So mortality cell lines, just for the people who doesn't know it, mortality cell lines is the awareness by the individuals that their death is inevitable. So in the experiment, the researcher examined smokers' attitudes toward the behavior of smoking. And the researchers first gave the participants a questionnaire to measure their smoking-based self-esteem. And following the questionnaire, the participants were randomly assigned into two different conditions. One was anti-smoking warning labels about death. So like, smoking will cause you a lung cancer. But the second control group were more exposed to like anti-smoking warning labels not dealing with death.
So one is making that anxiety more salient, like making it aware in their mind, while the other one is more
by
like
involving
just
the word death.
Yeah.
And so what the researchers found out is that death cognition in the form of anti-smoking warnings weren't that effective, but rather it increased their positive attitudes towards the smoking behavior. So even though like mortality was made self-reliant. The individual, like, favorism towards smoking actually tells us that people use positivity as a anxiety buffer for us, so that we can continuing to hold certain beliefs that we want to believe.
Yeah, it's like lying to yourself, because if you don't, you're left with reality that is just so disheartening and then sad.
Yeah.
Right?
So that self-esteem actually allows individuals to cope with their fears about the belief much more easily. Because death cognition makes us worried about a serious fear. Like, it causes negative reinforcement that actually leads more people to engage in dangerous behaviors, because by accepting that, oh, we all want to death, by doing this behavior will lead to a more loss of self-esteem. So it actually, self-esteem is actually important as a anxiety buffer in terms of coronavirus anxiety.
And so I think it's important to point out that, you know, this strategy of death cognition, I guess, doesn't work as a method of coping with anxiety, especially relating to something so big as the coronavirus pandemic. And so I think it's we would like to discuss here what are actual strategies, you know, you can use or to cope with this depressing time, you know, if you're stuck in the house, or if you're just coming out of lockdown, or if you're about to enter a new one. What Dr. Fischoff certainly recommends is, you know, trying to be supportive of each other, even though we're distant, trying to understand each other, and especially political leaders, public health officials, people who are on the front lines of combating this pandemic. We need to be more supportive of each other and empathize with the struggles that we're all facing as a human species.
You can also look for some things that can keep you motivated, like book reading, if you're interested in reading books, or
you can use the time of quarantine into a more way of developing for own good. If you want to do something that you've never tried in your life, that would be a very good time to do that.
Yeah, this is a very good time to try things that you've been wanting to do, but you didn't have enough time to do.
It's a simple distraction, right, from the anxiety itself. And, you know, the more you practice it, the more interested you get in it, the more you do it, and the more distracted you get from the reality, which is key, which is, as we've shown, is pretty key to maintaining that mental health, good mental health.
And also a lot of people use internet platform.
Mm-hmm.
For example, because of corona, we cannot gather as much as we want, and we cannot meet together and eat food often, because there are always a high risk of getting coronavirus while you go to a restaurant and eat something, because you don't know who will have the coronavirus possible cells. So in Korea, for example, a lot of people use Zoom or any internet platform, so that they actually virtually feel that we are all together and we are all experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
And I guess the empathy now that we have to feel to each other is the key point where we can resolve these mental health issues associated with COVID-19.
Well, we hope this discussion has been helpful to you to understand the effect that the psychological effect that this coronavirus pandemic has had on us in terms of anxiety and mental health. And we hope you have now, we have been able to help you realize or come across strategies that may help you deal mentally with this virus. We thank you for listening to us, and we'll see you next time on another episode of Peas in the Podcast.